Today's Bible reading comes from Matthew chapter 6, and I'm reading from verses 25 to 31. Therefore I tell you, do not be worried about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?
Good morning. Yeah. How are we all doing? Just after Christmas. Today being the last Sunday of the year, can you believe it? Since this is the final Sunday of 2023, I'm going to share with you a message that will encourage us as we wrap up this year today and as we prepare for another year from tomorrow. Anyone here has some sweet tooth craving? Oh, good, I'm not alone. You wanted to open a pantry door and see what sweet is there, or after dinner go to the fridge and see what some... Yeah. Oh, there you go. And you have the sugar craving? Strong urge to get a scoop of ice cream. What do you think is Australia's most loved sweet treat? Chocolates? Pavlova? No. There was a data that was commissioned by Foxtel and was conducted by Pure Profile ahead of the fifth season premiere of the Great Australian Bake Off. And it shows our nation's most loved sweet, and that is cheesecake. Cheesecake was followed by cookies in the second place, and donuts in the third place. Brownies in the fourth place, and banana bread in the fifth place. The research also showed that we very much prefer sugar craving over savory. 57% of Aussies opt for sugar craving. And guess what? Queensland turns out to be the sweetest state of all. Yeah. Yeah. So everyone is craving for something, craving for sweet or craving for things like that. Some people crave for money and others for fame. Some for pleasure and some people crave for self-validation. And some people crave for worldly power. So this morning we're going to look at the scripture passage of what we as Christians need to crave for. Shall we pray? Now, Father, we come before you this morning. We give ourselves, Lord, to you on this last day of this year. And as we look forward toward 2024, we pray, God, that you'll be with us, guide us, lead us. And this morning, as we look at this passage, we pray that you'd help us, Lord God, that was read to us, and that we will, Lord, constantly, always keep looking to you. And Lord, as we so appropriately sang this morning, you are the Alpha and the Omega. And help us, Lord, to trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what do we as Christians crave for? Pray, okay, prayer. Sorry? A bread. Yeah, anyone else? To see Jesus? Peace? So appropriate for today's world, yep. Grace? Dwelling in the presence of God? Yeah. All are good answers. And all of them lead to our passage. Love God, worship Him, serving Him, obeying Him. All lead us back to this passage of Matthew chapter 6, 33. So this morning, we'll be looking at this one thing we as Christians need to be seeking for as we face another year. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So this verse is in the context of Matthew chapter 6, and that was read to us partly. Jesus is talking about worry. One thing that follows us everywhere. And that we should, and he tells us that we should not worry because it doesn't do us any good. And in that passage that we read, it says it doesn't increase our height. It doesn't do us any good, but it takes our focus away from God. That's what worry does. It takes us away from God. We can neither focus on Him or focus on worry. We can't do both. Either we look to Him or we look at worry. And of course, we all worry and are concerned. But let's not get consumed by it all the time. We all worry as human beings. It's a natural tendency. We worry. But what we're looking at this morning and what this passage tells us is let not worry dominate our lives. And Jesus says the pagans or the unbelievers, their lives are dominated by this aspect of worry. Now, you know, friends, that the sun is gone, it's disappeared. You know, I can block the sun out with this 50-cent coin. By bringing it closer and closer and closer to my eye, I can block that massive sun out. And that is what this passage is talking about. We look at worry so much, we get it closer and closer and closer, and we block the blessings of God. Worry dominates our lives. It's okay to worry, but let it not dominate our landscape. Let it not dominate our lives. Let it not dominate when we wake up in the morning, we worry. When we go to bed, we worry. And this is what Jesus is telling us today in this context. He repeatedly tells us to keep our eyes on our Heavenly Father. Keep our eyes on Him. At least 14 times in this passage, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus refers Father, a Father in heaven. So Jesus Himself, He Himself said, keep our eyes on the Father. Now, did Jesus worry? Was He anxious? Yes. Yes, He did worry. He was anxious. He went through it Himself in the garden. In Matthew chapter 6, it says almost three times, it says He went a little further, bowed His face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. Three times. His death was very close. The next day, He was going to be arrested. He knew what was going to come. He knew the agony and the stress that He was going to go through. He called His disciples together. He went away to His garden and He prayed. And this is what He prayed. God, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. And again, and Jesus so clearly tells us in this verse, in the moments of anxiousness, of anxiety, of worrying, of stress, and in another part of the Bible, it says He began to shed drops of blood That's the stress level he was going through. He said, my father. And so, friends, this morning, the antidote for worrying is let's look to him, our father. Jesus knows about our anxiety. He knows our stress. He knows our worries. And the antidote for our worry is look to him. And this morning, friends, if you're going through a very stressful situation and you're really worried and you struggle with it, it dominates your thinking. You don't seem to get peace about it. Let's seek him. And I think at this moment, let's just close our eyes for a moment and say, in our own heart, say, Lord, this is what I'm worrying, and I want to give to you. Let's just do that. Dear God, we just want to give over this thing that dominates our lives. This worry, this stress, this anxious moment that dominates our life, that dictates what we do. Father, we give it to you right now. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you stand as a garrison, as a strong fortress. At this very moment, we will experience your peace in our lives as we look to you. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus wants his listeners to seek after one thing, and all the others will follow. And he says, but seek first. The word but, as it starts off, it's a conjunction where it tells us to let us know that it's not a standalone verse. It cannot be taken out of context. The whole context is about worrying. So the important lesson for us is when we start to worry, let us trust in him with all our needs and cares. To seek first comes after Christ's teaching about not to worry. He said, do not be like the unbelievers who are dominated by worrying, who are running after the worldly things or even worrying about their daily needs. The word seek here tells us it's an ongoing necessity to seek and keep on seeking. And that's our role, to seek God and keep on seeking. Keep on seeking in every day of our lives. We seek his rule and his reign over our lives. So in this new year, 2024, let us make it a practice, a discipline to seek God first, which must be our ongoing thing. Let's take it up as a challenge, friends. We will not allow the devil to get hold of our lives. We will not allow worry to dominate our lives. We will not allow stress to dictate our lives. But we will look to the Father. And let's make that a practice. Whenever worry and doubts come like a flood, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a banner and he will flee. So when those worries and thoughts come and begin to dictate your life, allow the Holy Spirit to raise up that banner and consciously say, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. I look to you, Father. Jesus did it. So let's do it. Let's make it a practice, a discipline to keep seeking, to keep on seeking God. So who are we to seek first? His kingdom. The phrase kingdom of God is used over 70 times in the New Testament, so it must be important. Number one thing that Jesus talked about is the kingdom of God. It's everywhere in the gospel, and it's impossible to miss. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. Jesus said, kingdom of God is in you. Because people are asking, what is this kingdom you're talking about? Where is this kingdom? He said, it's in you. He also taught his disciples to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth. In the Beatitudes, Jesus said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus taught us to pray, let your kingdom come. And Jesus also said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He spoke of this kingdom of heaven in parables like mustard seed, a leaven, a lost coin. So he thought a lot about this kingdom. So what is this kingdom? What is this kingdom that Jesus was talking about? It is God's reign, his rule. It's not a realm. It's not a geographical place or a political kingdom that Jesus was talking about. That's what the Jews expected when Jesus came on this earth. They wanted to know what this kingdom was, what? Where is his army that he was going to overthrow the Roman Empire? The kingdom of God that Jesus was talking about is not a realm. It's not a geographical place. It's not a kingdom, a political kingdom, but it's God's rule and reign. And when we ask Jesus to come into our lives, he rules and reigns over us. And that's the kingdom of God in you, in me. It's the rule and reign over God, of God in our lives. Friends, what does it mean to seek his kingdom? To seek God's kingdom is to desire, crave. Remember we talked about craving? Desire, craving for Jesus' rule. We long for his rule. We desire for his rule. We desire for his rule in our own lives. We desire for his rule in our circle of immediate influence. We desire for his rule in as far and world that we can reach. That's the kingdom of God. People whom we influence in our own lives, as people can see the change in our own lives, it's the king, that's God's kingdom in us. It's the reign of Jesus. It's the realm of Jesus' authority that is acknowledged and obeyed. Let the people around influence, recognize, and see Jesus' authority in your life, because his kingdom is in us. When Jesus tells us to seek first his kingdom, the context is worry, especially with the basic necessities of life like food, shelter, and clothing. So he tells us it means that we look to God and his kingdom for all our needs, even our basic needs. So let's make it a goal, 2024, that we will have a close relationship with God. Let him into every area of our lives. Let him be the Lord of all our lives, because he wants to care for our basic needs. Let him be the Lord of our life. What are we to seek? His righteousness. What is this righteousness that Jesus is talking about? Before Jesus defines what this righteousness is, he tells us what righteousness is not. And he takes a wonderful example, which really stunned the public as Jesus showed examples of what righteousness is all about. Very early on his Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, Jesus said, for I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa, what a stinging statement that was. The scribes were the teachers of the law. The Pharisees were the keepers of the law. They were the most special people of the law who kept God's commandments. And now Jesus is saying, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the scribes, you will not enter the kingdom of God. This was an open public statement that Jesus was making, telling the people that your righteousness should exceed that of the Pharisees and the scribes. The Pharisees were the most affluent and powerful group of people during Jesus' time. They meticulously kept the Jewish rules and regulations. While doing so, they rejected true justice, mercy, faithfulness of God. It was their self-righteousness on display. One example, when a Pharisee stood publicly to pray, he would say, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like the tax collectors. Look at me, God, who I am. And what a shock it was for the self-righteous Pharisees who thought they had the box office seat in the kingdom of God. Those who are blessed were not the scribes or the Pharisees, but the poor in spirit. Those who mourn, the gentle, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They are the blessed ones. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, not our own self-righteousness. So in order for this to happen, friends, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 20, chapter 5, verse 21, God made Him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. In Christ, we become the righteousness of God. So what does it tell us? We cannot earn any good merits, no brownie points, because it is He who made us righteous. It's about being made right before God by His grace and through faith in Christ Jesus. He makes us right with God. We cannot make ourselves right with God. Righteousness is a gift from God. He clothes us with His righteousness. We walk in His righteousness. We live in His righteousness. It's not about our righteousness, which the Bible says in Isaiah is filthy rags. To seek God's righteousness is not about trusting in our own goodness or performance, but it is trusting only in Jesus and His finished work on what He did for us. Praise the Lord that it is His righteousness in our lives. We don't have to strive and struggle to do how many good karmas or bad karmas. We are saved by Jesus Christ. We have His righteousness in our life. And we can walk in the freeness of that righteousness. So friends, God's kingdom and His righteousness must be our top priority in our lives. Let's always remind ourselves, whenever the devil brings his worry and anxieties and stress level, let's know that we are clothed in His righteousness. And when God sees us, He sees us right before God. And what is the promise? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In some versions, this is all these things will be added to you. So what are these things? What are these things that Jesus is talking about? In this context of this chapter, so do not worry. Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Now, I'm not talking about when you come home in the evening, what's for dinner? Now, I'm not talking about before you came to church, what shall I wear? But I'm talking about, friends, is what dominates our lives. What is that rules our lives? Is it these? What shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? Do these things dominate? These are the basic necessity of our lives, food, shelter, and clothing. And our Heavenly Father knows that you need them. God knows that we need those basic necessity. Jesus commanded us not to live in a constant worry mode, even if we don't know where our next meal is coming. Don't live in a worry mode. Even when you know we don't know from where our next meal is coming. That's a scary thought, isn't it? I know we all can go back home. We have a lot of leftovers left and we have plenty of food. But what about those times when we don't know where our next meal is coming from? It's a scary thought. I was a student studying the Bible college at Tuong, in the foothills of Mount Kutha. One morning, Susan opened the fridge and she said, Sam, there's no food to eat. I don't know what we're going to cook. There's nothing. Our fridge is bare. There's not even a loaf of bread. What are we going to eat? So I put up a brave face and I told her, I said, God will take care of it. Packed up my books. I went to the library. I said, God, what are you going to do for us? There's no meal. What shall we do? And Susan was hanging the clothes on the clothesline. We have to go right around at the back. Just hang the clothes on the clothesline. My son called me up and said, Dad, come soon, come home, come soon. There's somebody here. So by the time I could pack up everything and God, that person had gone. And he called Susan and Susan also came in. Mom, see what's happened. Somebody had walked in and put a leg of a lamb, a box of veggies, fruits in our fridge and had walked out. We didn't know who this person was. This is a time when we had no one. We didn't have any church. It was backing off when we were studying in the Bible college. We had no idea from where our next meal was going to come. And God provided for us. He came through. God wants to look after our basic necessities of our lives. He cares for us so much. If he can care and feed the birds of the air, how much more he cares for us. You might be saying, but my family is important. My career is important. My school is important. My dreams are important. No doubt, friends, all these are important. They're important for Jesus too. However, Jesus is challenging us, make him the priority. Let him dominate our lives. And all these things will be given to you as well. So wake up in the morning, glorifying. Lord, this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it in the face of stress and worry. That's courage, that guts, and that's what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. That we can get up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, that this is the day that the Lord has made. There's a song in your heart, sing that song to glorify God. So in conclusion, friends, Matthew chapter 6, 33 tells me to make the kingdom of God, his right and his righteousness my top priority. Jesus wants his people to trust God instead of worrying all the time. It is difficult to put God first while we have challenges that are tearing at us. But we can overcome, change that landscape, change who dictates us, change who dominates our thinking. Let Christ dominate our thinking. And that's why he has given us the Holy Spirit to help us, to strengthen us, to walk beside us, to prompt us, to know that it is God, that he cares for all our needs. Instead of letting anxiety overcome and govern our lives, our thoughts, and our being, Jesus tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added to you. I want to ask you this question, friends. In what ways do you seek to put God first today and in the next year? We'll do that. We'll put God first. Let not worry, stress, or anxiety dominate us. Jesus has gone through it. He knows how much we worry. And just like Jesus did, let's look to our Heavenly Father. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for the simple yet profound necessity to seek the kingdom of God first, no matter where I am or what I am doing. This command offers direction and encouragement. In all things, yes, Lord, in all things that we want to seek you, you rule over our lives. Lord, we offer ourselves to you this morning to live for your purpose and for your glory. Jesus, you know that I do this inconsistently. There are times, Lord, when we allow doubts and worries to dominate our thinking, our lives. But God, help us to seek your rule over our lives. Help us, Lord, as we offer ourselves to you, to consistently give you praise and glory. Sometimes these good things like security for our family and simple things, Lord, they do come and they do bring worry. But let's know, Lord God, that you care in all these simple things. Forgive us, Lord, when we have failed to seek your kingdom. And by your Spirit, help me to desire more than anything else. Help us, Lord, to want to live each moment under your grace and authority. Stir within us this unquenchable thirst for your kingdom and your glory. So we will earn for you in all these things. Help us, Lord, to hunger and thirst for you, to crave for you, your kingdom and your righteousness. And all these things will be added. Thank you, Jesus. And this morning, Father, we thank you that we can look to you. And thank you, Lord, for delivering us from this bondage of worry, stress, and anxiety. You are Lord, Lord over all. And help us, Lord, to walk out of this room with peace in our heart, the peace that you give us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, friends.